Well, I get the privilege today of sharing God's word with you, and I do count it a real privilege and an honour. And today I want to share with you just a passage from Psalms, and it's a passage that I've found to be really helpful in my living my everyday life. Excuse me. You know, the Bible's such an incredibly amazing, living, inspirational book. And I hope to show you today, just through a few words here, about how I go applying it to my everyday life. So if we can have the first scripture up, I'm going to just read from Psalms 19, verses 7 to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the amazing privilege it is to be able to have your word and to be able to read your word in such freedom. Lord God, I just pray that this morning that our hearts will be open to receive your word. Father, that your words will go down deep and that they will accomplish what you want them to accomplish this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Who loves getting a reward or a prize? I do. You know, when we achieve something or get a prize, or if we do something for someone and get a reward back, it's such a great feeling. You know, it's something that you can really enjoy. And sometimes even just knowing that there's a reward at the end of something or a prize available, that can be an incentive to do whatever you need to do to get that prize. Who loves a blessing? Again, I do. Someone does something for you, you know, out of the blue, someone will just drop you a meal around because they think you need one, you're tired or look hungry or something. Flowers, someone gives you flowers and that just makes your day. Maybe someone will give you some movie tickets and have a night out. Maybe someone gives you a compliment. You know, all those things, they just really bless your heart. They can be a real blessing. They just make you feel really loved. Now I want to ask you, what do you think about consequences? So who even thinks about consequences? The fact is that there is consequences for all of our actions. And so really it's something that we should be thinking about far more than what we do. Let me give you an example, and I'm sure most of us here will know what I'm talking about. If we speed when we're driving, we're likely to get caught, especially if that's how we always drive. Now, if we get caught, there's consequences. Depending on the speed that we're doing at the time, we can either get a fine or a loss of points. We might even get a suspension of our license. But if we're really pushing hard against the road rules, we might even lose our license, or we might even go to prison. You know, we could even go as far as saying that there's opportunity of causing an accident when we speed, and where we, ourselves, or even others could be hurt or even killed. So you can see the consequences from our choices of what we do can range from mild to major. But there are still consequences for all of our choices and for all of our actions of disobedience. So something we don't like to think about, but there are consequences for everything we do in life. And I'm sure we've all felt them at different times. But you know, we always think of bad things when we think of consequences. But have you ever thought about some of the good consequences? You know, talking about rewards and prizes, they're consequences for good consequences. And that's something that I think we don't often think about enough either. You know, when something's done correctly or in order, or in a manner that it should be done, then good things happen. For example, if I follow the instructions for cooking, follow a recipe, and I add the correct ingredients, then I'm going to end up with something that's first of all edible, I hope, and secondly, something that actually tastes good. There's a good consequence from following the correct instructions. There's reward and blessing for doing things correctly. So with a meal, as I said, you put the correct ingredients in, you get the reward of having something that is yummy, hopefully. Now, our actions can bring about either a positive or a negative consequence. So it really depends on what instructions you follow. A good consequence can also be that incentive for each of us. You know, like that reward or blessing, you can have that consequence in front of you, and that can make you think, which way am I going to choose now? One of Gray's favourite scriptures in the Bible is John 10:10, and I'm sure every single one of you have heard him repeat it once or twice or three or four or five or six times. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." And you know, that really is the absolute truth. God does want us to have life to the full. He wants our everyday life to be abundant and fulfilling. Now, I'm pretty sure when I say this that I'm correct in what I'm saying, but I don't think any of us here would choose to have a miserable, unhappy day, you know, moping around and feeling bad. Would anyone choose to have a day like that? Didn't think so. I think if we had a choice, we'd choose to have a day where we felt really good, where we look forward to the day, where we laughed, where we could smile, where we had were at peace, where we could feel peaceful. And that is exactly the reason why God has given us His Word. His Word is there so that we can have that peaceful, happy day. He instructs us through this Word with our daily life. He wants us to have that enjoyable, peaceful, happy, everyday life so that we can have good consequences, that good reward and that blessing. That's why He's given us His Word. But again, as I said earlier, it's our choice. We can choose this type of day and we can do that. We can choose to have that happy, joyful, peaceful life, and it doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. That's the amazing part. No matter what circumstance, you can still be at peace. The consequences for our everyday choices. We should choose to decide to choose good consequences. And I want to show you how this morning. You know, anyone that knows me knows that when I love to read scripture, and instead of just skimming over it, you know, instead of, you know, saying something like, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him." You know, we can say these things and read the words without actually understanding what they're saying. We just read it so fast and don't really let what the word's saying absorb into our spirit. Anyone that knows me knows that I like to do word studies and I like to find out meanings and I like to expand things. I like to look at some of the key words in a scripture and see what it's really saying. So I like to let its complete meaning absorb right into my heart and my mind. So I want to look a little closer at some of the verses from this psalm that I read earlier. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now, as I started to read this and look at it, I noticed that there were some patterns in it, just in this particular passage, and this is how I read scripture myself. So look at all the pink words, or they're purpley pink. So I decided there's words, the law, the testimony, the statutes, commandments, fear and judgments. So, as is my habit, I decided to look at what the Hebrew meanings of these words were and dig back a little bit and just see what each of those words meant. Let me give you some examples. For instance, law means direction, instruction. Testimony means giving warning, evidence. Statutes talks about guidelines and standards. Commandments talks about code of wisdom, directives. To fear means to revere or to stand in awe of. Judgments talks about justice and procedure. So all those words there, I saw that they were actually attributed to the Lord. You can see the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. So now we've got yellow words up there. So the Lord looked that word up too. And it says, the existing one, the proper name of the one true God. So each of those directions, the law, the testimony, commandments, whatever they were, of God, the Lord, were described like this. So then we come to the next words, green ones. They were described, perfect means without blemish or complete. Sure means trustworthy and reliable. Right means correct and proper. Pure means clear and sincere. Clean means spotless and uncontaminated. Faithful, or true means faithful and sure. And righteous means to be in right conduct and character. So it's starting to make a little bit of a picture here now. We've got these directions, these laws, these commandments of God, which are totally pure, totally trustworthy and faithful. And then we can see what these laws actually accomplish. So we go to the next colour, red. It talks about converting. Converting talks about reviving and restoring. Making wise is talking about teaching wisdom and instructing. Rejoicing, talking about being joyful and making us glad. Enlightening, to shed light on, to illuminate. Enduring forever, that talks about being steadfast, remaining, and that word forever means ongoing, never stopping. So now we've got this picture of we've got these directions, these laws and commandments of God, all of them being totally pure, trustworthy and faithful. And we can see what areas of these lives these laws actually accomplish in our life. So now we've got the blue words. The soul. The soul talks about the mind, the heart, the will, the appetites, the desire, the emotion and the passion. You know, they're pretty incredibly powerful parts of our life. And when you think about that, those parts of our life can be, going back to the red words, revived and restored. They can be made glad. They can have light shed upon them. Let me go to the next word, simple. Simple talks about foolish, open-minded, naive, gullible. Do you know what? Every single one of us fall into these categories at some at different times. And it's not something we probably ever even like to think of and admit, but we do. But you know, we can gain wisdom instead of being foolish, instead of being naive, instead of being gullible. We can gain wisdom. Then we've moved to the word heart. That's talking about the understanding, inclination, conscience. And you know, the inclinations of our heart can be changed as well. What an amazing thing that is. The inclinations, the things that we are inclined towards can be changed to that of something of joy, of gladness. We can be changed to something of wisdom. Then we come to eyes.
Yep.
That's talking about the mental and spiritual faculties. And this is where God can shed his spiritual light on things in our life. When our spiritual eyes are on him, he can shed light and illuminate our life. So then in putting all of these together into my language, the way I've expanded it all out, my understanding, I then come up with what I call the Chris Nelson version. And this scripture is saying, the one true God's instructions, directions, standards, guidelines, his code of wisdom, justice and procedures, his ways, are without blemish. They're complete, they're correct, they're reliable, sincere, spotless and faithful, And then we, our heart, our mind, will, our appetites, desires, emotions and passions can become restored, recovered, refreshed, wise. We can have understanding, be in awe of God, joyful, glad and cleansed forever. No longer gullible, no longer naive and foolish or proud, arrogant and presumptuous. What an amazing reward for following God's ways. That's incredible. And these few verses are just telling us that if we follow God's directions, the words in this book, we're going to have that abundant life. We'll have blessings and rewards if we choose to live by God's directions. Again, it all comes back to having consequences for all of our choices. There's a couple of comments that I read on these two passages when I was looking, studying it all. One of them says, can put that up, thanks Andrew. Obedience is self-rewarding and disobedience is self-avenging, which talks about self-punishment. Now obviously we'd all want the reward, not the punishment. And so when you look at this quote, it's saying obedience is self-rewarding. So if we're wanting to reward ourselves, we need to be obedient to God's word, not punishing ourselves by disobedience. It's pretty clear. Then it says the writings of man may contain a few mutilated principles and some fine sentiments, but they're not directed to any great end, nor are they complete in themselves. That's talking about the writings of man's ideas, all his philosophies of life, all those things that are written in so many different books and so many people's and man's own ideas. What a contrast to the Word of God. This is Word of God is complete. It's directed to a great end, and that end is abundant and eternal life. So abundant life while we're living here our everyday lives and eternal life. These words are directed all to that end. There is a purpose in them. So the Word of God as a law is actually perfect. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. And that's what the Word of God tells us, that, you know, it contains absolutely everything that's necessary to make us happy, holy and healthy. As a testimony, the Word of God is sure. In all respects, it's true and just and excellent. And do you know there's absolutely nothing that's random in the Word? There's nothing that's just thrown in there for the sake of it. Nothing in the Word is random. It not only has authority, but it has a goodness on its side. It's pure. So this book, the Bible, the Word of God, is a clear and a logical direction of wisdom. So instead of looking at the Word of God from the point of view of things that you can't do anymore, which a lot of people do, oh, it just says I can't steal, I can't hold on to offences, I can't harbour unforgiveness anymore, drats, you know. Let's look at it from the point of view of things that we can do and the good reward and blessing that we'll receive from doing those things. Instead of focusing on the negative, look at the positive. You know, it's that typical saying of we can become glass half full people. We can, be happy people rather than the glass half empty, miserable people. The glass has got the same level in it, but happier people are talking about the glass half full because they've made correct choices. You know, I can't believe that any of us would choose that dull, miserable life, as I said before, over an abundant and happy life. And yet, you know what? We do, because we're all foolish and gullible at some point. But all we have to do is follow God's instructions. His instructions, these are the instructions to living, to really living. You know, live life to the full, the good old sayings. But that's when the Bible tells us to live life to the full, it's not how the TV tells us that we can have life to the full or how the world out there tells us to have life to the full, but it's how God tells us. You know, the only one who doesn't want us to have this fulfilling life is the enemy. And the enemy is just that. He's an enemy. That's a revelation, isn't it? He's our enemy. He's the one that whispers in our ears, makes us discontent, makes us restless. He's the one that perverts, twists, corrupts and misleads us. And so often we are naive enough to allow him to deceive us. The truth is that he is a deceiver and a liar. He's the father of lies, the Bible tells us that. John 8:44 says, "For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, he's the father of lies." So why do we keep listening to him? Why do we keep believing him? Believing that we can have great fun, we can have a happy life if we do things his way or our way instead of God's way. You know, doing things Satan's way instead of God's way is actually spiritual adultery. Now, we all cringe at the thought of committing adultery. But do you know what? The truth is, every single time that we are unfaithful to our God, and that being unfaithful is by not following his ways, every time we put other things before God as a priority, we're actually committing spiritual adultery. We're not being faithful to him. What a scary thought, but it's the truth. I really can't understand, and I'm talking to myself as well, why we continually get sucked into Satan's lifestyle when his total aim is to destroy us. The enemy's disguised in so many different ways, but every one of them lead to death and destruction. It doesn't matter how good they might look, they all lead to death and destruction. The enemy is looking for every opportunity he can to bring us down. And it's obvious that he uses all his subtle, wily ways and things that aren't really obvious. That's why it is so important to live by God's directions. It's why it's so important to have this deep inside your heart. Another great scripture that is a good one to look at in depth and expand, as I showed you before, and to look at all the meanings, is this scripture, 1 Peter 5:8. Be well balanced, be temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So he's out there looking for each one of you. He's trying to find someone to devour because that's what he does. Every single one of us think that we know what's best for our life, and it's the enemy who makes sure of that. He makes us think that we know what's best. You know, maybe you've even made some decisions that have worked out pretty good, so you're happy with the decision you've made. But could it have been so much better if it had been done in God's ways? When we do things God's ways, we're under his guardianship. We're under his covering. And we have that impenetrable fortress from the enemy around about us. Because God's spirit is stronger than the enemy. God's spirit is wiser than the enemy. And the ultimate fact is that God has already defeated the enemy. So how important it is to live under God's instructions. The difference between a life of self-indulgence, self-gratification, you know, the grabbing at things and stuff in life that we actually think we need, that type of a life compared to the kind of life that we're talking about today, the fulfilled life, the abundant life, is that God's way really is fulfilling. And it's fulfilling permanently. Again, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, it is fulfilling. We don't have to spend time anymore worrying, trying to work things out, getting ulcers on how to fix the situation. All we have to do is what God says. It's easy, very easy. That's why we all do it, isn't it? Then we just leave the rest to him. It really is so easy and so liberating when you can see it as black and white as that. So it's something that we all should be trying out. We should let God's word work in our life. We should be excited about the word of God. We should develop a real love for the word of God. So today I wanted to encourage you to enjoy the word. I want to challenge you to see the Bible as God intended. The warnings and the instructions are for our good, so that we don't have a life that's been stolen or don't have a life that's been killed or destroyed. That's why God's put them in his word. What I did with that scripture earlier is something each one of you can do. You can take a scripture, you can make it become a part of you by understanding it, by looking at it in depth, by making it a part of you. You know, everything that Gray's been speaking about in his last couple of series are God's instructions for us. He's talked about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talked about implementing them. They're all there for us. It's all in his word. That's part of God's instructions to us. He's talking at the moment about putting on God's protective clothing, and that God has made that clothing for us because it helps us to be protected from the enemy that I spoke about, and it also helps us to be obedient. So if you haven't heard the messages, then get a CD or download it from the internet. They're worth listening to because it's so worth getting those principles and the life teaching, the instructions, into your innermost being, into your heart and your mind. I read another quote and it said this: you take up the most interesting novel that was ever written, and I'm sure we've all got a favourite novel, favourite story of some sort. And if you commence at page number 400 today and then pick it up again tomorrow and start at page 300 and then the next day start at the first page, how much sense or interest would you gather from it? Yet because the Word of God is alive and living, every word, every single word is packed full of truth, and we can read it and apply it and any part of it satisfies. And that's the truth. That's the difference between other books and God's word. So let's just look at these verses quickly. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalm 37:31. Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Hebrews 8:10, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. God's directions, his instructions are actually inside of us. He's written them on our heart, the scripture tells us that. The Holy Spirit is there to remind us of his word, and he gives us a desire to do his will. So read the word, let it be absorbed deep within your spirit, feed on the word, let it nourish and guide you. Let's activate these words and invite the Holy Spirit to remind us of what is actually written on our hearts. Just wanting to go back here. That script, the scripture that I read earlier and my version of it, this is what God's instructions are. This is what how God can have, we can have that word in our hearts. This is what is written on our heart. The one true God's instructions, directions, standards, guidelines, the code of wisdom, justice and procedures, his ways, are without blemish. Complete, correct, reliable, sincere, spotless and faithful. And then we, our heart, mind, will, appetites, desires and emotions and passions can become restored, recovered, refreshed, wise, have understanding, be in awe of God, joyful, glad, cleansed forever. No longer gullible, naive and foolish, or proud and arrogant and presumptuous. Next scripture. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Let that be our prayer today. Psalm 119 verse 18, he says it to us. Open my eyes. Let's use that as a prayer to our God, that I can see your wondrous things from your law. They're already written in our hearts. Open my spiritual eyes, God. So the challenge today is to stop trying to do things our own way. Stop trying to do things ourselves with our own understanding. And again, as I said, I'm talking to myself as well. It's human nature to do it ourselves. But instead, Let's make sure that we appropriate the word of God and bring that blessing and that reward into our life, because that is God's reward for each of us, that abundant life. That's what he wants for us. That's that prize that we should be aiming towards. That's that consequence of being obedient. So today, the scripture is a book of privileges. It's a book of instruction. But every blessing and reward in here, in the observing of God's word, they're not merely a consequence. Neither is it something that's earned. But they are rewards of grace, both in this life and in the future life, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us.